thankful for those that are visiting with us on this morning. We want you to know that you are what we call our VIPs, those very important persons that you've chosen to worship with us on this morning. We like to say that when we worship God, there are five acts, as I said, of sacrifice when we worship God. And Luke, when he wrote in the book of Acts, he said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and that's teaching from the word of God. He said then, and fellowship. Fellowship is when we share back that what God has blessed us with. Some call it offering, where we offer back to God in thankfulness what God has allowed us to receive. Amen?
Right.
And then the breaking of bread is when we take the Lord's Supper. Our minds go back. Thank you, Brother Allen, for leading us this morning in the fact that our minds should reflect back on the fact that Christ died on the cross.
Yes.
For my sins and for your sins. Mm-hmm. And so that takes us back. Bread is his body, and the fruit of the vine is his blood that he shared on the cross. And then we also have prayer. So there was a four acts that we find.
Mm-hmm.
And then in verse number 47, the Bible says praising God. And so we praise God. Hebrew writer said with the fruit of our lips, we sing. We don't use instruments in our praising, our worshiping to God. We praise God with what God has already given us. We don't need anything. We don't need nobody to buy no piano. We don't need nobody to buy no guitar. We don't need no one to purchase anything, because God has given us already what we need.
Worship
him. He gave us lips. And the Bible says having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And from that verse, we find if you are at the age of accountability, you are either in one or two categories. Yeah, this morning. Either you have obeyed the Lord after being taught and you've been added to the church, and you've been saved from your past sins, or you here this morning, you need to be added to the church. Yeah, and it's my responsibility to share with you at the close of my message what Jesus has said specifically, what you need to do to be added to the Lord. No one is a member of the Lord's church until they are obedient to the Lord.
Amen.
And no one is a child of God until they have been obedient to what God has said that allows a person to become a child of God.
Amen.
And I share that in love. Amen?
Amen.
And so again, if you're here this morning, and you're visiting with us, someone has invited you, we want you to know that we want you to become a Christian according to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at the close of my message, I'll share with you what the Lord has said. On this morning, we are speaking from the subject titled, Godliness is Profitable Unto All Things. Text that was reading you here. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Now, there are three questions I want to answer from the text this morning. They are, number one, what are meats? You'll see that in the text. What are meats? Lord talks about, Paul spoke about. What is bodily exercise?
Mm.
Yeah, but there's more to it than just exercise. And then, what is godliness?
Right.
Yeah, now, I want to share that if you haven't caught on, that my PM sermon connects with the AM sermon. Yeah. That I'm going to do this afternoon. So this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to define
what godliness is. And then this afternoon, we will do a case study on godliness from the Bible. Make sense? So again, when I preach, I generally, the afternoon message connects with the morning message. Last Sunday, if you remember, I did Church of the Living God. Then in the afternoon, I did the Church of the Wilderness, looking back at that congregation of God's people, how they serve. So there's a connection in the morning and afternoon message. So on this morning, in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, begins with the Apostle Paul discussing bad and good ministers or preachers in the church. Yeah, he does that. He starts with bad preaching. Yeah. And so he says in the text, now the Spirit speaketh expressly or plainly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. There's only one faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Yeah. When one teaches contrary or in opposition to what God has given, that is the doctrine of devils. Amen. Yeah. And so Paul, let me get there. I'm sorry. So you said Brother Stroud. Yeah. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrine of the devil. Whenever someone teaches something that's not consistent with what God has given, that's the teaching of the devil.
That's it.
Then he gave two cases. He said how they did it. He said they're going to be speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So what he said is that they're going to be speaking things that are not true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they're going to tell you things to do that they won't do. That's hypocrisy. Then he said their conscience is going to, the word seared here means to be burned. You know, when I don't have the ability to know right from wrong from the word of God, then Paul said their conscience is going to be seared, and then they're going to begin to be speaking things that are not true. Amen?
Amen.
And then he identifies, and I said, two things that they spoke of. He said, one, and if we can think about it, there is a religious body, and I try not to have to put things down, but you want to still be accurate in what you're saying.
That's right.
There is a religious body that teach people not to marry.
Mm-hmm.
The men can't marry,
mm-hmm.
and the women don't marry. But Paul said they're going to be forbidding you to marry,
mm-hmm.
and commanding to abstain from meats. Paul said, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Yeah. Both marriage and food are things which God has created to be received with thanksgiving. In other words, I'm appreciative of what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
What Paul said. Yeah. Marriage and food are things that God has created. So when someone teach you about that, we want to know what the Bible says. Well, when it comes to marriage, the Hebrew writer said that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But sometimes we have to understand what the Hebrew writer is actually saying. He ain't saying all marriages are honorable. Yeah. No, he's not saying that. Yeah. The way that can be read is let marriage be held in honor among all.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, what are you saying, Brother? What do you mean how to be held in honor? Well, Look in Matthew. I'll let you do some work. Look in Matthew chapter 19. Turn your Bibles there. I'll let you do some work this morning. You brought your Bibles. I want you to use them. Yeah. So what we're saying is that when marriage is in agreement with God's laws, they are honorable. Mm-hmm. When they talk to Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, let me get there with you. Jesus gives the first criteria in verse number 4, Matthew 19. When they talk to him about, is it lawful for a man, verse 3, to put away his wife for every cause? He answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them what? So, the first criteria in marriage, you got to have a male and a
female.
Yeah. Anything outside of that is unlawful in God's eyesight. Now, there's other criteria too, but that's one we can clearly see. If it's not a male and it's not a female, it's not lawful. Mm-hmm. So God does not honor that marriage.
That's right.
You go down to the courthouse and do whatever you want to do, whatever you think you're big to do. But understand this.
No.
It's not honorable in the eyesight of God. Yeah. And then he tells, give another stipulation in Hebrews. He said, and the bed undefiled. Yeah. The word undefiled means free from unlawful sexual intercourse. Yeah. So anytime anyone has a sexual relationship and that person is not married properly in the eyesight of God, that's why the Hebrew writer said, but understand this, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge.
Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to say to our young people, yeah, be careful whom you marry.
No.
Yes, sir. Yeah, be careful whom you marry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's a big decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And make sure that that person is eligible to be married in the eyesight of God.
Amen.
Don't just take what he say.
No.
Yeah. See, Paul, they were saying, Paul said, they gonna tell you can't marry. No, you can marry. But again, the marriage has to be held in honor in God's eyesight.
Amen.
And then Paul said, they're going to forbid you to abstain from meats.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, in Romans 15 and 4, I'm going back to the Old Testament now. Romans 15 and 4, if you look there, I don't want to assume someone just know the text. Romans 15 and 4, I'm showing you why I'm going back to Genesis chapter number 1. So we'll know this, and I'm going to try to help us this morning as we walk through this text this morning. Amen. In Hebrews 15, Romans 15 and 4, Paul told the Romans, he said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime was written for our what? For our learning. So when we go back to the Old Testament, that was something that was written aforetime. We can learn from the Old Testament. It's not our law, but we can learn from it. Nothing in the Old Testament becomes law for us until we see it written in the New Testament. Yeah. So in Genesis, go back there. Genesis chapter 1. I want to help us out and help myself out this morning. When we talk about meats. Yeah. Talk about meats and understand what the word mean in the word of God. When we think about meats, we just think the Bible talking about meats. Yeah. I think he talking about pork chop and, steak and, you know what I'm saying? Put some ribs on the pit.
There you go.
Yeah. Boy, when Sister Stroud do that, I'm just waiting for it. Yeah. And I love me my favorite is, I can tell you all, my favorite
give me some pork chop with barbecue sauce on
it. Yes, sir.
And just move away. I'm going to say stand back. Yeah. And some ribs, too. Mm-hmm. And chicken breast.
Chicken
breast. Yeah. Yeah. But now that's not what he's talking about. Yeah. When he say meats. Now watch what the Lord says. I'm going to try to help us with this text here. Mm-hmm. Now in Genesis chapter 1 and the verse is number 29. Mm-hmm. And God said, behold, I have given you every what?
Herb.
That bears what?
Seed.
Yeah. So now he said, which is upon the face of the earth. So now God told Adam, I've given you every seed, every herb mm-hmm. that has a seed inside of it. Mm-hmm. He said that upon the face of the earth, not only that, and every tree mm-hmm. in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for what? So when God used the word meat, mm-hmm. he was talking about solid food.
That's right.
Help us with some stuff here. Help myself too. When God made man, God made man to eat agriculturally. That means things that are planted from the ground. Why, Brother Stroud? Because when you eat something from the ground, it has fiber in it. Fiber helps to regulate us. Yeah. See, God knew what he was doing. Yeah. Now, in Genesis 9, God gave him permission to eat meat. But I want to understand, you got to understand this here. See, sometimes, now, we can have issues from birth that are hereditary. You know, may have blood pressure issues, hereditary. Could be. Yeah. But then sometimes our diet hurts us. Yeah, because see, anytime, you know, I was talking about that pork chop and I was talking about that rib and I saw some people smiling, but understand this. Anytime you eat meat mm-hmm. are products from an animal. It has cholesterol in it. Yeah. Now, your body is designed to produce the amount of cholesterol that you need. The body does that. Yeah, you have to do nothing. The body going to take care of itself. Yeah. However, when I start eating all that meat and my cholesterol go up, and my doctor tells me you need to cut down on. Am I helping somebody this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to learn to do things in moderation.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Because fiber is what the body needs. Fiber even works on reducing your sugar level. Yeah, fiber. So when I'm eating, green beans and broccoli, and I'm eating fruit, that helps me. It helps me. Now, nothing wrong with eating meat now, but you got to understand yourself. Yeah. When I go to the doctor, he tells me, Mr. Stroud, and that's why the Bible tells you that life is in the blood. That's why you need to, everybody need to have an annual physical. I'm encouraging you every year.
That's right.
You go in and get your blood drawn, and they come back and they give you readings. Yeah, and I need to know what my A1C is. They measure your blood sugar over a 3-month period, and if it's too elevated, because now you don't, they tell you you are pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't eat that much sugar. Yeah, but are you eating carbohydrates?
No.
Carbohydrates, if you don't burn them off, they turn into
sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you're sitting out eating a loaf of bread, you just...
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, so I ain't had nothing sweet, baby. But what happened to the loaf of bread? Nature's own. Well, it disappeared. I know it did. Yeah. I'm just trying to help her. We got to stay with God's principles, what I'm saying. Yeah. So I don't have to abstain from something, but I got to understand about taking care of my body.
Amen.
Paul said then they was going to talk about that, but that's not what the Lord said. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, when we were growing up, I know when I was growing up, even our parents had a biblical mindset. They would say fruits and you knew that. They raised you that way. And they made sure that when we sat down, they were going to have everything covered. You're going to have a vegetable. You may have a meat. You may have a starch, but you're going to have what you have.
That's right.
Yeah. Now we, our kids just go and you take the McDonald's. Ain't nothing. They eating, helping them. From standpoint God is saying. Yeah. That's what they call fast. Yeah. That's not my Texas one. We good with that?
Yeah. So all I'm trying to do, Paul was saying today, it's not that I abstain, but again, I just wanted to clarify when we talk about meats, the Lord was talking about solid food. Because we can miss that if we don't get there. That make sense? Let's see what else Paul talked about.
He told him, he said, because for every creature of God is good. In other words, the word creature in the text means something that's created by God. A thing that's created. So he said, everything created of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Yeah. That's what Paul said.
If it be received with thanksgiving.
He said, for it is sanctified. The word sanctified means to set apart. It's set apart by the word of God and prayer.
We ought to continuously pray and give thanks to God for our food and other blessings that we receive from him.
You know, James talked about every a good gift and every perfect gift. James 1:17 comes down from God. God gives us blessings. So we need to always have a mindset that we're thankful to God. That's what Paul was telling them. Be thankful to God. What God gives us. Amen?
Everything that God gives is good, Paul said. And we should have a mindset. And sometimes, let me share this for all of us. Sometimes we have to thank God for things simply being as well as they are.
Yeah. I had a person in my class this week, and she came to class late, and she was crying. Well, I had tears in her eyes, and she was late to class. I said, good morning, come on in. And I said, come on in, have a seat. And so she sat right next to me in my class I was teaching. And so when we got ready to go to a break, I saw she was still tearing out. I think a tear mill started coming down. And I said, I noticed you're crying. Are you going to be okay? She said, I'm going to be okay, but I'm from Turkey. And I lost family over there. Now, I think at the time, remember they started going up with numbers. Now it's been over 28,000. Yeah. So the point I'm making is that, you know, sometimes we got to be thankful for things being as well as they are. Because sometimes most of us, it's about learning how to deal with situations and circumstances. That's some of our problem. Yeah. Yeah, it's dealing with situations and circumstances and being able to make the right decision. Yeah, but she came in and I said, well, are you going to be able to stand? She said, I stand, Cloud. Thank you very much. And see, sometimes you got to be careful that you got to learn as a Christian that you have a gentle spirit.
There you go.
Yeah, you need to learn to have a gentle spirit. Where's that said about? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll share that in the text because Paul said that should be a spirit that we should have. Yeah, it's in the Word of God.
Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 34, and I'm going to get with our lesson. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 24, Paul said this to Christians, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. And strive means to quarrel and to fight and argue. If you are a Christian, you shouldn't be getting in arguments. What do I do, Brother Strive? Right there in the text. But be what? Gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. So my spirit should be one that when someone want to get into an argument, the Lord has commanded me. As a servant of the Lord, I don't struggle. I have to learn to have a spirit. I'm gentle. That's my spirit. I'm patient with people. That's the spirit Paul was telling Timothy that a Christian ought to have. And so with this person, you want, or anyone that want to argue with you, you just let them, excuse me, ma'am, I don't argue. Yeah. Yo, I want to, ma'am, sir, we not going to argue about this here. Now, if you're going to continue to argue, brother, I'll just walk away. I'll just walk away. And sometimes in relationships, we need to learn just to, yeah. I mean, when I was young, I like to talk about myself up here and y'all won't get offended. I mean, one day we was young in our marriage and, something happened that night and I was mad. I wanted to get up the next morning arguing. You know, I know y'all, I know it's gonna happen to y'all, but that was me. And I was a Christian too. So we got up that morning and I wanted to pick up, you know how you want to pick up from where you left off? So I wanted to pick up the next morning and I wanted to argue. But it's something about bacon and pancakes. It just takes away your will to want to fight. Man, I woke up and I smelled that. Good morning, Sister Straub.
That's it.
But what she did was she exhibited the proper spirit. Yeah. Yeah. No, Paul talks about let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Sometimes we say, well, the sun ain't down. That's not what he's saying. That's a metaphor. Yeah, that's a metaphor. Let me just say, go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll share this. I'm about to close here. Ephesians chapter 4, trying to help us as a Christian, to live as a Christian. Yeah. Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 4. Mm-hmm. Let me get there. Yeah. Yeah. He said in verse 26, he said, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Then he gave a reason why. He said, neither give place to the devil. The word place in that text means opportunity. See, when I'm angry and I let it stay in me, then I'm giving the devil an opportunity to get in my marriage and mess it up. Yeah. So what the Lord is saying, as soon as I can, that's why he said, let my son go down for his breath. As soon as I can, I need to catch myself. Sister, I got to talk to you for a minute. What you got, babe? I just want to apologize for what I did and what I said. Yeah. I want to apologize. Then I give her an opportunity if she did something to it. That make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Because sometimes, I'm saying, the devil get our marriage, and next thing you know, you done something that you are ashamed and sinful about. Yeah. Because all the devil wants to bring in any marriage, he want to bring three people in there. Yeah. Then Paul began talking about, that's bad preaching when you're talking about forbidding the marriage and The fact that you can't abstain from meat. No, no, that's not what the Lord teach. We taught on that. Marriage is honorable. Let all marriages be honored by what the word of God has said. And also when it comes to food, God has said with us what we can eat. But again, anything I do, I want to kind of be in moderation. And then sometimes I can abstain from certain things for health reasons. Yeah. But then Paul then started talking about good preaching. A good minister. He told Timothy. He began talking about the importance of preaching a sound message and living a sound life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's the responsibility of the preacher. Not only that my preaching be sound, but my life need to be sound also.
Amen.
He said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. I'm going to mention those things. He said, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Yeah. And so I just look back at the message I preached from 1 Timothy. I preached on these things being, I taught on love out of a pure heart. I talked on thanking God Christ who has strengthened us. I spoke on God would have all people to be saved. I reminded the brothers about the qualifications to serve as elders and deacons. And on last Sunday, I spoke about the church of the living God. Those are these things that Paul told Timothy about. Let me say this. The responsibility of the preacher is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as well as to warn the congregation of dangers and to promote the spiritual growth of the congregation by strengthening your faith through the word of God to fight off those things which can attack your faith.
See, the devil comes at you. He attacks your faith. That's what he does. Yeah. And that was a time that Paul, in his writing, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Show you it's about your faith. That's what it's about. It's about your faith. I got to try to strengthen your faith through the word of God.
Note what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse number 5. Note what he said. Paul said, well, I'm going to start at verse 4. First Thessalonians. I want to get it so I want you to capture this. He said in verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. You're going to go through some afflictions. He said, but don't let that move you. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, Paul said, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. You're going to go through some trials, even as it came to pass. And you know, he said, you're going to go through some stuff. Know that. But watch what he said in verse 5. For this cause, when I could not longer forbear, I sent to know your what? I want to know about your faith. He said, least by some means, the tempter, talking about the devil, has tempted you and our labor be in vain. What are you saying, Brother Stroud?
I'm trying to strengthen your faith because when you go, the devil going to tempt you. And if your faith is not strong, Paul said, all my preaching to you is in vain. If you leave from here and you don't apply the things that being taught from the pulpit
to strengthen your faith, then the labor, my labor is in vain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Paul said, I want to know where your faith is at. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, you got in the Bible gives faith a measurement of faith. Sometimes you read the Bible talks about little faith. Some of us have little faith. Yeah, when we go through stuff, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Then the Bible didn't talk about some of us have no faith. Soon as trials come, you gone.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm trying, that's my responsibility. I'm trying through the word of God to strengthen your faith so when the devil come, you strong enough to deal with him. Yeah. That's my responsibility. So Paul is talking to the preacher now. And then he says, but refuse profane and old wise fables. He said, now, and exercise thyself rather, and here we finna get to to godliness. Yeah. Paul said to Timothy that as a preacher, I would do myself some good when I learn, and that's what the word refuse means. That word means to avoid or stay away from. See, I'll do myself some good if I stay away from stories. You know, because sometimes people just like to talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want to say stuff, talk about people and say stuff. Well, but Paul said, now, but learn to stay away from that kind of stuff. Yeah. See, so when you want to talk down somebody, I'm not the one. There's no G on my back to say a garbage can where you can just dump some stuff on me. And sometimes we need to help each other. When members come talking about other members. Yeah, and they want to say something about some. See, look here, man. Yeah, man. And you know, and I think he is. Hold on, bro. What you mean? Well, I think he, hold on. Have you talked to him about that?
No,
man, I thought it was just, no, don't share it with me.
There you go. That's right.
No. No, go to him and to him alone. That's what Jesus said, Matthew 18. But Paul said to him, man, Paul, Timothy, let me tell you something, man. Them old wise fables and all that stuff people saying, man, he said, stay away from that stuff. He said, now what you want to do, you want to train yourself, that's where exercise means, unto godliness. Let me talk about godliness a little bit. Paul said, for bodily exercise, profited what? Yeah. He said, that's my title now, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Yeah. So let's talk about bodily exercise a minute. Yeah, bodily exercise. Well, let me give the text first, and then I have my notes there. I'm going to read my notes. But I want to share something with you. Jesus said in Mark 6:31. Now, all this has to do with bodily exercise, but it's more to it than just exercising. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For they were many coming and going and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So Jesus here talks about rest. Jesus talked about rest. Let me say this. Again, trying to help us and me too. Mm-hmm. All human beings need both rest and recreation. Mm-hmm. Recreation is to recreate the mind and body with proper activities for enjoyment. Yeah. That's what recreation is, when you're enjoying yourself. Yeah. Now, some recreation can be sinful. Mm-hmm. And anything wrong must be avoided. We should
engage in recreational activity. We did that when we had our fellowship. Amen? We engage in recreational activities. However, we should engage in recreational activities only at the proper time and never when it will interfere with our obligation to God and our fellow man.
Give me an example, Scott. If we had worship service this afternoon, what time the Super Bowl start? Okay. If we had worship service at 6 p.m. and the Super Bowl, you just enjoying yourself. You inviting people over. Nothing wrong with that. But understand this here. I would never let enjoyment and pleasure come before my obligation to God and my fellow man.
Amen.
Yeah. What are you saying, Brother Stroud? Well, if the game come on at 5 o'clock, at 6 o'clock, and we got worship at 6 o'clock, you know, and you ain't got no recorder. You don't have no recorder. Yeah. You know, you put out an APB, all-point bulletin. I need somebody here that got a recorder. Nothing wrong with enjoying the game. But I don't put that before the Lord.
That's right. There you go.
Also, I don't put my enjoyment before my fellow man.
Right.
I have a choice to go fishing and to go help a brother. And I choose to go fishing rather than help my fellow man. That's not good. That's not good. Recreation has its place.
That's right.
But it has to be in the context of God, it said. So also, let me tell you, I'm talking about rest right now. That's rest. Rest is when we just relax. But also, I want to share with us something. Because I'm getting to bodily exercise. That's the end of it. But as a Christian, we need to learn to get rest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As they said, don't burn the candle at both ends. Mm-hmm. Not only that, we need sleep. When they woke Jesus was sleeping when they came and woke him up. But Paul, when he told Thessalonians, right after the text we just read, he said, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. Mm-hmm. Let me see the importance of sleep here.
By definition, sleep is a natural state of rest. It's a part of rest during which your eyes are closed and you become unconscious or not aware of things around you. Now,
some may know, but when you sleep, there are three levels of sleep. You have what is called light sleep. You have what is called REM sleep. The word REM means rapid eye movement. Then you have what is called deep sleep. And I found out you can go out now and you can buy a ring that will measure that for you. Yeah. Now, let me say this just to help us about sleeping. There is something that is produced in the brain during your deep sleep. And I'm going to spell it for you because, you know, we have some teachers in here and people want to know. It's called cerebrospinal fluid. C-E-R-E-B-R-O-S-P-I-N-A-L, spinal fluid.
cerebrospinal fluid. It's called CSF. Now,
why is that important, Brother Stroud? Because during your deep sleep, that CSF is produced in the brain. And what it does, it washes out the toxins that's in your brain. So it's almost like, it's like a detergent. It cleans the brain of all them toxins. You know, when they go and find people with Alzheimer's, it's because of that buildup. So what I'm saying, Brother Stroud, sleep is important because you need to sleep. You need to get good sleep. Yeah, good sleep. Yeah. Why? Because during your sleep, the body re-energizes itself. Yeah. Not only is rest important, sleep is important. Because now I'm exercising, but I'm not getting good rest. I'm exercising, but I'm not sleeping good. Paul said, for bodily exercise profited little. Let me talk about exercise a minute. And I'm going to talk about godliness and I'm closing. Exercise provided needed development for unused or non-active muscles. That's why we exercise. Also, by exercise, your appetite is encouraged and stimulated. You know, sometimes you go out and work out and eat, and you go out and work out, and now I got an appetite. That's, God designed it that way. From exercise, the mind gets diversion, and there is an exercise of relaxation from the tension and pressure of everyday life. Sometimes, you know, you go out and you just take a good walk, and you just feel better. Yeah, so exercise is important. All of us need to do whatever I can do.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah, exercise. Paul told him. But now, when he says exercise, again, bodily exercise can provide a feeling of enjoyment and enthusiasm. So exercise is beneficial.
That's right.
Paul said that. But now, when he said for bodily exercise profited little, the word little in the text means for a limited time. Yeah. Bodily exercise only benefits you while you're living.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Because he explained it next. He said, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Now watch what he says in the text. Having a promise of the life that now is. Godliness not only benefits you in this life and of that which is to come. Godliness will get you to heaven.
There you go.
Paul said that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bodily exercise does have a problem, but it only helps you while you're living. Yeah, but why I need exercise, Brother Stroud? I need to exercise because I want to be as healthy as the Lord would allow me to be, so I can serve the Lord as best I can.
Amen.
If my vessel is broke down, I can't, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I may be limited to only phone calls. Well, if that's all you can do, that's all you can do. But I'm trying to encourage all of us, let us start taking care of our bodies.
There you go.
Let's use the word of God to help us to be more healthy.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let me define godliness, and then we're going to talk about it tonight. I'm going to give a case study on it tonight, but I still want you to get the definition of it. So again, what Paul was saying to him was telling Timothy, understand this, that you need to exercise, but I also want to include rest and sleep along with exercise. Because Paul said it profited for a limited time. Mm-hmm. But understand this here, Timothy, as a preacher, if you got godliness, it's profitable in everything that you do. It's not only profitable in the life you're now living, but it's going to be profit you in the life that is to come.
Mm.
And so I want to give a working definition of godliness, because we're going to come back tonight. We're going to look at this text, and I'm going to show us a case study of a person that exhibited what godliness is. Know what godliness is? It is the submissive honor. Some people say respect and loyalty that is shown to God. So when I come to worship service, and I want to encourage us now, not only just be on time, let's get here early so we can fellowship with one another. Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah. But it's when I honor and I show loyalty to God. But now watch the second part of it. And it is a desire to please him. That is my motive for my actions. So whatever I do, it's my desire to please the Lord. If I'm doing something that don't please the Lord, then that's not godliness. Yeah. So this evening, we're going to go back to, and I think we put our subjects up now so you can study ahead. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 20, and we're going to do a case study of what godliness means. That's good? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my message this morning. But godliness, right here, Paul said, is profitable unto all things, not only in the life you're living right now, Brother Stroud, but godliness will benefit you in that life that is to come. We got to have that. Yeah. And I got to work on that. I got to work on it. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, we want you to become a Christian. And that letter that we're talking about in 1 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy. He said something in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Well, I'm going to finish this verse. I'm sorry. He said that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, meaning it's all pleasing. Meaning he was saying when he said, well, godliness is probably an all thing. Mm-hmm. Paul said this is a faithful saying and worthy of everybody except that. But I want to say to our visitors this morning, you're here visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. I want to share this with you. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul in his writing, his letter to Timothy, he said to him in verse number 6, what we call verse number 6, he said about Jesus. He said he gave himself a ransom. A ransom for all to be testified. You know, when someone kidnaps somebody, they ask for a... Yeah. They say, you want me to let this person go? Pay the ransom. And so I'm saying to all of us, and you are visiting with us this morning, Romans 3:23 lets us know all have sinned. Mm-hmm. And so when you sinned, and when I sinned, the devil locked me up. And he wanted a ransom for me to be released from those sins. And so again, the word ransom is something paid for the release of someone that's been captive. So Christ gave up, he didn't give money. He gave up his life in an atonement for sin. And it holds good for those that are obedient to the conditions that is stated in the Bible. 1 John 2:2 lets us know that Christ was a propitiation, meaning he was a substitute for us. He satisfied God by giving up his life for us. Mm-hmm. And so you here this morning, what you need to do now is be obedient to the conditions I'm finna give you that Jesus gave. Jesus gave these conditions. The first condition Jesus gave in Luke 11:28, the Bible said, but he, talking about Christ, said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So the first thing you got to be willing to do, you got to be willing to listen to God. Yeah. Not listen to yourself, but listen to the word of God. Okay, I got that, Brother Stroud. I want to hear what God has to say. Secondly, Jesus answered and said unto them, John 6:29, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. Right. Who did God the Father send? He sent Christ. Mm-hmm. So the second thing you have to believe that Jesus Christ came down to this earth. Okay, I believe it. It's in the Bible. I believe Jesus Christ is there. Then Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Perish means you're going to be lost. You won't go to heaven. The word repentance means, Pastor, that means that if I've been walking in this direction, meaning I've been doing what I want to do, repentance begins when I turn to listen to the word of God. Repentance starts there. Okay, so I repent. I repent of all those things I've done wrong. Now I'm turning to the Lord. Okay, I got that. What else? Anything? Yes, it is. You got two more steps. Then Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So what Jesus is saying, if you're here this morning and you haven't done what the Lord is doing, you're not a member of the Lord's church, then you'll come up here and you'll make the confession that we find in Acts 8:37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what you confess. And then Jesus said, if you confess me before men, then what I'm going to do, I'm going to confess you before my Father. Okay? Is that it? No, one more thing. You're still in your sins. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, he said unto them and to his apostles, go ye into all the world, excuse me, and preach the gospel to every creature. What's the gospel? It's found in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. The gospel has three facts that you need to know. You need to know that Jesus Christ died for your sins.
Right.
Secondly, you need to know that Christ was buried in a tomb. Thirdly, you need to know he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead.
All right.
Okay? I heard that. Now what I need to do. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You're not saved from your sins until you imitate what Christ did. Christ died for our sin. You have to die to a sin. Romans chapter 6. Christ was buried in a tomb. You have to be buried in a liquid tomb. It's called baptism. Yeah. And then by faith, Revelation 1:5, when you are baptized by faith, the blood that Jesus shed on the cross is in the water. And that blood cleanses you from all your sin. It's not just the water. You need detergent. You need the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
To cleanse you,
there you go,
of all your sins. And then when you come up out of water, you're now a Christian. A member of the church. Remember I said this at the beginning. Praising God, having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily such as we saved. Once you obey the Lord, now you are added to the church and you are saved from your past sin. Okay. What is the church, Brother Stroud? The church is a spiritual body of baptized believers. Excuse me. You are called out from the world over which Christ rules his head. Now, you leave the world, now you're in the church. There's only two places you can be in life. You're either in the world or you're in the church.
All
right. One or the other. Mm-hmm. And the only way I get in the church, I got to be baptized.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you hear this morning? We want you to become a Christian. Yeah. Well, all I have to do is believe what we share from the scriptures. Yeah. And the Bible says, when I go looking for what church I need to find, well, just go to the text. Paul wrote to the Romans, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you.
Amen.
The church belongs to Christ because he paid for it with his blood.
That's right.
So you are added to the church of Christ. You're not added to anything but the church. So you're here this morning, and you're not a member. We're going to give you the opportunity to come down, and what you'll come down, what I need to do, Brother Stroud, you need to simply make the confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we'll take your confession. Then we're going to baptize you. And notice now, the Lord, not man, the Lord will add you to the church. Man don't do it. The Lord do it. He's going to add you to the church. You here today, and you're subject to the invitation. Or you need to respond any other way. We bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? How are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His presence? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Now
are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of